beautiful human out there, good morning, afternoon, or evening in any part of the world that you're listening from right now. This is the very first episode of This One Trip, and I am super glad and grateful that you decided to check this out. This is a podcast that caters to documenting people's memorable travel experiences from across the universe. I deliberately said universe because if you've ever been to the moon or Mars or any part of our galaxy for that matter, you're also very welcome to call in and share your experience with me. So on this podcast, there are no olds barred and there's no discrimination against any race, country, gender, or personality. Quick plug. If you would like to share your memorable travel experience with me, please email thisonetrippodcast@gmail.com to request an invitation. On the maiden edition of This One Trip, I spoke with Joanna, a fine American young lady who decided to mark her 30th birthday by doing something so many people wonder against doing. She basically visited all the cardinal points of Africa to reclaim her roots. It was an incredible conversation, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. So, happy listening. Hello, Joanna.
Hey, Shay. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to have you as my maiden guest on This One Trip podcast.
Yeah. It's definitely a pleasure. Definitely a pleasure. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I'm probably much more excited than you are because this is something I've always had at the back of my mind to do, and then finally I have the courage to pull it off. And then
it's the right timing.
Yeah,
when everything aligns. So hey, I'm very happy to be a part of this project.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. Then
you're welcome.
Okay, so where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York. It is about 1:27 p.m. So it's like around my lunchtime, midday here on a nice cold winter day in New York. But yeah.
Wow. Okay. It's about, so we're 6 hours ahead of you because it's 7:27 p.m. here in Nigeria.
Oh yeah. You're ending your day. It's the start of evening.
Uh-huh. And it's very humid here in Lagos, as usual, but I think this moment it's much more ridiculous now. Like, it's hot. It's just like you're sitting beside a steaming water.
I think I'd rather take that though than the cold and having to wear so many jackets and layers and scarves. Yeah, I think I'd rather take the humid weather.
No. I mean, cold, all I need to do is just wear as many jackets as possible, get some hot stuff to drink. I don't know. I feel like I could manage the cold better than I'll manage the humidity here because there's literally nothing.
I guess technically, yeah, you can manage it better, but I still just enjoy hot weather more than I do cold weather. But it is nice to have a change in season, so I'm not complaining because it's not forever. But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't mind being someplace hot right now.
Wow. Man, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here right now. I just have to be.
Yeah. But maybe one day with technology we'll be able to switch places.
I mean, I'm not complaining about Lagos. Like, I love the city so much, besides all the disadvantage of it. The humidity, the population is crazy, enormous. What else about Lagos? Pollution, hair, sound, like,
man. Like Lagos. Any major big city, yours might be a little bigger, but it's like any major big city. A lot of people, a lot of cars, a lot of traffic, a lot of pollution.
Yeah. I mean, but besides those, I love the city so much. The energy of the city, something I always relish. Like whenever I go anywhere, I just miss it for some reason or the other.
Yeah, it's a rush. I understand. That's how I feel about New York. Lagos, actually, I visited it last year in December, early January. And I guess it was because everybody was going home to their villages. It wasn't as crowded as everybody talked about it. I didn't get the real Lagos, like, rush and sending traffic. Like, we got from the airport to our Airbnb in like 20 minutes. And they're like, that's not normal. So either we got lucky or I don't know what.
That happens once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I was fortunate then.
Yeah, but have you always been, I mean, did you grow up in New York?
No, I'm originally from California, Los Angeles area. I grew up in the suburbs there. So I've always like been accustomed to city life, even though I do like the countryside to visit and take a break from the busy lifestyle. But I've always lived in the city. So after my studies in college, I moved to New York. And yeah, that's where I've been residing since.
How many years now?
4.5 years.
Fantastic. Are you? Yeah. If you compare with California, would you like to stay in New York or would you like to go back sometime?
I don't think I want to stay in either. I'm trying to actually figure out where is my next place to move. Okay. But right now, New York is home. It has more to offer than California for me specifically. It depends on what you want in life. Mm. And what I want in life right now is that extra push to make me go after my dreams, and New York offers that. So.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's the same dilemma for me and many young people in Lagos, you know. Especially, I mean, if you've never been in Lagos before, it feels like, yeah, everything happens wherever you are. But once you have a taste of Lagos and you understand how important this city is to the economy of the country and also to the outlook of the country, then your perspective begins to change. And when you're in it, you just don't feel like there's any other place in the country that could give you as much opportunities as this place offers you.
Yeah. Yeah. Big cities. Big cities, big dreams. It's like a rush. Yeah. It's addictive.
Okay. There are so many questions that I can continue to run up with you, but there's not enough time. And I am anticipating to hear about this particular trip you want to share with me.
Okay.
Yeah. So what is it about? What was the trip? Where did you go to?
So for my 30th birthday, me and my friend, we were both turning 30 exactly a month apart, December 7th and January 7th. And we wanted to visit Africa. But Africa is so big, as we know, it's a continent. We're like, oh, we can't just pick one country, you know, like, let's go for a while. So we decided on like 3.5 months and to try to go to different countries and different regions. And we called it a Reclaiming Our Roots trip. So we did like, everybody does this Euro trip. We did an Afro trip, basically like backpacking throughout Africa. So we started in West Africa and went to Ivory Coast, Ghana, Togo, Benin, Nigeria, Senegal. Then we moved up to Northern Africa and went to Morocco and Egypt. From there, we went to East Africa and did Ethiopia, Kenya, Tanzania. And then we finished in Southern Africa and we visited Namibia and South Africa. So we got a little taste of each of the regions. We weren't able to make it to Central Africa. So that's going to be for another trip. But it was just like, instead of taking a DNA test, we really just wanted to go and dive in on the different cultures that the continent had to offer and just reconnect to all that.
Wow. That's incredible to hear. So you basically touched on the four cardinal points of Africa.
Yes, basically.
That is okay. So let me draw you a little back. I mean, why would you do this? I mean, what was the triggering idea or, you know, situation that warranted that this was what you were going
to do? Well, I mean, I've always wanted to go to Africa, and I think it just happened to be that I'm turning 30. And usually people do big things for their 30th, especially in America. They have like a big party or something. They do something monumental. Just to like, oh, I'm ending out my 20s, you know, let's, you know, move on to this next decade. And it was just like, well, this goes perfectly. Let me, like, being a Black American and not knowing specifically, like, what country I come from in Africa, I was always, like, connecting, like, oh, I want to learn more, like, which people will look like me. How would it be there? Because, you know, they have this narrative, oh, don't go to Africa, it's not safe, it's dangerous. But to me, I like traveling. I've been in a lot of places. That never crossed my mind. It was like, let me go there and explore for myself. And I just took turning 30 as an opportunity to do it because it gave me time to save. And then it was the time in my life where I wasn't deep into my career and I could risk like not having a job for a while to go after this adventure, and I wasn't married or didn't have kids, so I was like, let me take advantage of this opportunity before something like holds me back.
Oh, man, that's so incredible. That is so incredible. But now you are thinking that to yourself, but you did you do the strip alone?
No, I did it with one other person, my
Okay,
friend,
so how did
who was
you?
also turning 30.
Oh, so both of you were reaching that age and both of you wanted to do something big.
Yeah. I mean, I invited other people, but she was the only one that was able to take that much time off as well. And
Okay.
so we planned the trip together. It was called Reclaiming Our Roots, and
That's
we did this
fantastic.
Afro trip.
That's really fantastic. Like, so I would assume that it wasn't difficult for you to convince her to follow you on the trip.
No, so she had already been to South Africa once, but she wanted to explore other regions, so she was totally down with the whole trip, and it was like fully on board, and so we embarked on that journey together.
Oh, great. That is, I mean, you've got I just returned from a West African tour, and I mean, initially I thought, you know, the thing was like a year ago, I thought I was going to visit all countries in Africa, all 54 countries. Yeah, I had,
Really?
yeah. Okay, so
You can still do it. You might not do it in a year, but you can still do it.
yeah, I know I can still do it. So, but this was what happened. I was laid off from my work. And that was October last year. And so it was a period before then I'd been thinking about what to do with my life, you know, midlife crisis shit, you know. But and at this point I was laid off from work and I just thought, okay, let me find something, you know, different to do at this point in time. I didn't just want to do those things I was familiar with. And I just was thinking to myself that a trip across Africa would just make so much sense. And I would just develop content. I would develop content doing so, videos, pictures, and I just wouldn't know what would come up. And so my mind was, you know, building up to it. But unfortunately, I was also quite scared because this is 54 countries. I was planning that it would take me an entire year to do this. But so many questions started running through my head, like, you know, funding. You know, safety, you know, a lot of diplomatic issues to also, you know, come up against. It just became too scary, and I decided to back down. But I thought, okay, maybe I should break it into regions. So I was going to do West Africa, and then maybe I'll do North, East, and South. I could break it down to regions, and that would just, yeah, that would make it easier for me. So 1st of October 2019, I decided to take the trip. I thought I was going to go to all 15, you know, countries in West Africa. Yeah, that was my plan. But yeah, the finances were not there for me to continue as I would, as I would.
So
So
how many did you do?
I eventually did seven. I was supposed to do eight, but I was not allowed into the last country. That was the Gambia. Yeah.
Did they tell you why, or they just said no?
They didn't tell me anything. It was just a shitload of questions they were asking me, and eventually they were asking about my pocket money. I think there's a protocol where they have to be sure that you can fend for yourself in the city. But I showed them my account balance from my banking app, to at least to show to them that I had money in the account, but I didn't just have enough cash on me because of the Yeah, I was just being cautious of carrying so much money around because most of the trip, you know, I was with strangers most of the time, and so I just carried as, you know, as little cash as possible. So at this point, I didn't have that much cash, but they said if I didn't have up to $100 in cash, they won't allow me into the country, and that was really sad because first, getting $100 in cash at the border was really difficult. It's even impossible because there are no ATMs around. And second, to get the dollar denomination, I mean the currency itself, like that's just impossible at that point. So they sent me back, and then that was how. So it should have been eight countries, but I did seven countries, and I enjoyed every bit of it.
Well,
Yeah.
I'm happy you got to enjoy those seven. And
Yeah.
just another time you'll have to try to do that country and more and the
Yeah.
rest of the other
Exactly.
eight. Now you have eight more to complete
Yeah.
the 15.
Exactly. Okay, let's go back to you now. So you decided you were going to come to Africa And then, so what was the planning like? How did you decide to start? How did, just run me through the build up.
Okay, so we decided, we were 29 or going on 29. So we had a year to save. We were like, wherever we can get our cheapest flight to, that's where we'll start. So they had this like amazing air flight deal, and our round trip ticket to Ivory Coast was $364 in US dollars. So we're like, what? That's like unheard of. $364. All right, that's where we're starting. So that's how we started in West Africa. And then we mapped out everything else after that. And we tried to base it on like when was good times, because at first we were going to go west to south, but trying to fly back, it actually made sense to go west to north and then end in south. So that was, and then, I mean, Africa is a great continent, but still not a lot of content out there on like planning trips. So a very helpful platform was Instagram, like especially in like French speaking countries, we try to connect with people ahead of time. We did a whole bunch of research and just different travel groups like must see, must try foods. And we kind of just mapped out from there, like everything we would try, which areas we should go to in the country. Like if we needed to visit more than one state, we would try all that. And it was just like keeping a big Google Doc of everything based by country, region, city, and the number of days we'll be there and everything. And then just trying to break down how much cost we want to spend per night for like accommodation.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. So like I'm quite interested in you going on Instagram to reach out to people, because it was something I didn't realize on time when I started my own trip. I think it dawned on me, particularly when I got to Ivory Coast, and it just dawned on me like, oh, I don't know how, what happened, but I just went to the Instagram search feature and I will just type the city I'm in, and then I will look for the most, I will look for the most recent post and begin to DM the people that I found, you know, who
had. Yeah. So for Ivory Coast, we're in Abidjan, and I did that as well, but I also looked to see if anyone on their post spoke some kind of English.
Exactly.
Because I was like, I can meet a lot of French people, but I don't speak French. So I need someone that speaks, even if it's a little English, even if it's broken, that's fine. We can communicate. We can figure out a way. So that's how I did. So that took a while. But we were able to find someone who was really nice and very helpful in making sure we were able to get around. So that was like very helpful. I would definitely recommend that for anybody. Instagram is definitely a powerful tool.
Yeah, it was for me. And from Ivory Coast, I used it until I got to Senegal. It was really helpful, like unbelievably helpful. Yep. So that was a good one. Yeah, so you saved for a year. How were you sure that the amount you were saving was going to be enough?
Oh, I wasn't. I came up with like, I want to spend 10,000. So whatever we do, we have to make it fit into a budget of 10,000. So that's how we did it. So it kind of like we did backwards. We did like hotels. So we averaged like we'll spend $36 a night between the two of us. So like 64 total. Mm-hmm. That's the most we wanted to spend a night on accommodation. If it was less, great. That was the most. So then we got a budget for that. Then we looked at all the visas, because being a U.S. citizen, almost every place charges a fee. So we calculated those. Then we looked at like just plane prices or like train prices. Buses, we couldn't look up. We just had to like hope it was in like a budget. But we try to look at like transportation and come up with a rough idea. And then leisure, like what countries we absolutely wanted to do some kind of tour activity, and just gauge that. And then the rest we left to like spending miscellaneous and all that.
Oh, that's great. That's really smart, because when I did mine, I'm a quite spontaneous person, so I didn't have a particular budget. What was the most important thing for me was to just start and I'll figure it out. You know, that was more of my own approach. It made the trip really difficult, and that was where I learned that look, there is no way you can subvert planning. You have to go through that phase where you plan properly. It will make a whole lot of difference and make everything much easy for you?
Yeah, you don't have to plan to the specific time and day, but just to have a rough idea, like in that week, these are options of places you could stay, and just knowing how much it'll cost, it'll help you out a lot. Because yeah. you can be spontaneous and be like, oh, I'm going to stay here longer, which is fine, or I want to cut this trip short. But just knowing, having in your mind, like the budget around what it will cost will help you.
Yep. Yep.
It's something like we realize.
I totally agree with that. Okay, so now that you're coming to Africa, it was your own first time. Your partner had come to South Africa before.
Yeah, but it's my first time.
Did you have any fears? You know?
No, I was so excited. I had no expectation. Everybody was telling me how scary it was, but I think in my mind, I was like, I'm going to prove everybody wrong. It's just another place where people live. Like, don't let media propaganda scare you off. And like I said, I've traveled a lot. Like, I've been to Brazil, Haiti, Cuba, you know? It's just like, okay, this is another part of the African diaspora, or where the African diaspora started. Like, let's go. Like, mm-hmm. And I have a lot of like African friends that are like first generation here. And I'm like, their families welcome me and no problem. Like, why would it be any different on the continent? So even as a woman, I felt like really safe. And I felt like, okay, it's just another country I'm visiting. Yeah, you got to be aware, you know, and just have common sense. But otherwise, like, it was just all excitement. You know, like, I can't believe I'm doing this. So.
Okay, nice, nice. So what about, like, did you go through any medicals before you came? Like, did you go through any
quarantine? So the only thing that was, required was a yellow fever shot. So I took that. It was other shots recommended, but only take steps that's required. So that was the only thing. And then, you know, to get malaria pills and, you know, just have, like, common medicine on us, like cold medicine, like anti-diarrhea, like just carrying that stuff just in case you got sick. But otherwise, yeah, just the yellow fever.
Okay. Yeah, it's also required here that you have the yellow card for the yellow fever vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a few countries, I think when I got to Ghana, they requested for my meningitis card or something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't do it. I eventually didn't do it, but I remember they requested for that. But I told them I didn't have it. I paid some money, and they just allowed me go.
Mm. I think too, it depends on what country you're coming from, where they like stop you and ask you more questions, or if you're traveling by border or flying as well.
Oh, yeah. So the first country you start, it was where the ticket was the cheapest, right, to go to.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and what country was that?
Ivory Coast.
Ah.
Cote d'Ivoire.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Cote d'Ivoire. You started from Cote d'Ivoire. How many countries did you visit in total?
Was that 13?
13 countries.
Yeah, 13.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. So you did Ivory Coast, and then how did you go? Did you fly into each of the countries, or you took buses?
So from Ivory Coast to Ghana, we flew, and then from Ghana, Togo, Benin, Nigeria, we took local buses or shared cars.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Nice. Really getting local there.
So that was your West African route?
Mm-hmm.
And then you went to...
And then we flew from Nigeria to Senegal. Because it was just too far to try to, like, take a bus or anything. So we flew from there.
Okay, that makes sense. So you flew to Senegal, and I would assume that from Senegal, you went to North Africa. That was Morocco and Egypt?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, so if you would have to compare the places you visited, I mean, per region, what region would you say was the best one?
I feel like they're all so different. There's not a best one. I think it's what you want. They're different. I love them all. I really love them all. Even like North Africa, I was actually shocked how much I actually really enjoyed it. I thought that was going to be my least favorite.
Really?
But
why?
I guess when I think of African culture, which is bad because it's not one way, North Africa is the least that I think about, because I know, especially in the U.S., a lot when they come here, they don't really say they're African. They just say they're Arab. And the ones we see, they're always the lighter skin ones. And they don't really think of themselves as African. So I was just like, oh, we'll see how this goes. But then when I got there, it was a totally different experience. So I did have like this conception of how it would be, and it wasn't like that. So,
what was the experience like? What made it different? What made it special? What made it memorable for you?
Well, I mean, for one, they're like, yeah, we're Arab, but we're definitely African too. Like, it's not one or the other; it's both. And there was probably the most that they told us, "Welcome home," which I was shocked because I was like, "What?" But out of all the places, not that I was expecting that, but they were the most like, "Welcome home," like, "Welcome home," like even the lighter, like some will say, maybe white Africans. Or, yeah, even they were like, welcome home. Like, you know, I have people in my family that look like you. We're all one family. So happy you come. It was just like, wow, I was really taken back. And then just when you really get there, learning the history of it, like media paints this picture of all like the fancy stuff. And when you really dive in and get to interact with the cultures and stuff, there's a lot of love.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I've never been there. So that's so nice to hear.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
So, I can imagine. So, okay. But you didn't tell me specifically what you liked about the place. I understand the people, they were warm and welcome, but was there any other feature that stood out for you?
The architecture was very beautiful, especially in Morocco and Egypt. I mean, like, seeing history books about the pyramids and all that and actually going, being able to go like, oh, I'm not reading this. I'm actually visiting and seeing it with my own eyes. That was amazing too. Actually, though, North Africa probably had the worst food, though, to me. I didn't like their food. But,
oh, in North Africa?
Yeah, everything else was good. They weren't my favorite food. They were my least favorite. But
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, so where do we go now? West Africa?
No, East Africa.
Okay, so we go East Africa. Well, we've not talked about West Africa though, but yeah, let's go East Africa. So what's your conclusion about East Africa?
Well, Ethiopia was my top country I wanted to go to. And so it hit every expectation, exceeded it. Like, it was a very amazing, amazing time. And I feel like I connected with the people in East Africa, Kenya, Ethiopia, Tanzania the most. Like, it felt the most like, oh, these are my relatives. Like, we look alike. So that felt very at home. And like Zanzibar, which is in Tanzania, had like some of the best beaches I've ever seen in my life. And they're a lot slower paced than West Africa, but they're still a lot of fun. It's like, let's enjoy life. Let's take in this moment. So.
So you said the people from East Africa, they looked more like you, or they thought you looked more like them?
They thought I looked more like them. But I also thought they, like, yeah, some of the people, I was like, oh, yeah, you look like my cousin or my aunt from back in the U.S. So, but they were like, oh, yeah, you look like an Ethiopia. They were like, oh, you're from here, huh? Your parents are from here. You just don't speak. They sent you to America. I was like, yeah, that's right. But they were like, why don't you speak Amharic? Like, how do you not know the language? And I was like, I'm not really from here. But they were like, oh, Ethiopian. Like, yep.
That's really fantastic.
Yeah.
So I know that when people want to make this sort of trips, the first thing they usually do, which is something very popular right now, is that they do the DNA testing or the, mm-hmm. the ancestry thing. To know exactly where they're from, you know. Did you do that before coming?
No, I didn't. I actually opted out of doing that because I was just like, I want to just see what area I connect with myself. I don't want to test to like lead me and be like, oh, I'm from there, so that's why I love it, or I thought I would love it because I'm from there and then I don't, like, based on that. And I just feel like Africa at one time, they didn't have all these borders and everybody kind of mixed and migrated anyway. So you can just take whatever country you want and embrace it. So that's how I kind of go about it. I mean, maybe one day I will take the test, but it's not like a top priority for me. I think it's just exploring it and being open to what the different countries have to offer is a better experience for me personally. I know some people need to know specifically. But for me, it's more about where you're going, embracing it, and how you're making it like a part of you.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, that makes a lot of sense because you didn't want that to influence your experience or at least your decision on what
exactly
you visited and how long you stayed there and all of that.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I could definitely go take a test and then go back and see and try to connect even more and see. That would be a cool, like, you know, another trip to Africa just by itself. But introducing myself to Africa, I like the way that I did it. Like, just exploring the different regions.
Yeah, I definitely agree that, I mean, thinking along with you, I think that's a better experience because let's say you found more connection in Kenya and all of a sudden the test now says you're from Kenya. That would be so beautiful to experience. Like, wow, no wonder I felt this much connection there.
Yeah.
That would have been a great experience. Yeah, so.
Or I could find the test and I could be, like, from a specific part in, like, Togo. I didn't go to that part in Togo. It would make me want to go to that specific, like, remote area and see the different tribes there. And I might. So you never know what the possibility could be.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Just a tiny break away from the conversation. I've got videos from my West African tour on YouTube. So if you'd like to check them out, just search for Sheyi Albert on YouTube. Sheyi is S-E-Y-I and Albert is A-L-B-E-R-T. You should see a number of my videos there. So if you watched and enjoyed them, please consider subscribing and sharing the videos with your friends. Also, if you'd like to follow Joanna's trip through Africa, you can check out her Instagram at Reclaiming Our Roots. And you're going to see a lot of beautiful pictures there. And if you also want to ask her more questions, I think she might be able to reply you from there. Okay, let's get back to the conversation now. Okay, like this entire trip, what was the biggest highlight for you?
There are so many, but one that comes to mind that I didn't even expect or know that would happen was when we were in Zanzibar, which is an island off of Tanzania. And we're like, oh, we want to go to the ocean. You guys have some of the world's best beaches. So we got a local to take us. And we get there and there's like no water. We're like, we wanted to go to the beach. Why did you bring us here? And he's like, oh, don't worry. Don't worry. Like in like 2 hours, the water will come all the way back. We're like, what? Like, this makes no sense. Like, I don't think you understand what we're saying. He's wow. Like, no, no, no. He's like, you think I'm lying? Ask this lady. And the lady's like, yeah, right now, like the tide go. So then he took us and we walked on the ocean floor because it all just went away. I don't know where it goes, but he took us on a walk and we were walking literally on the ocean floor and we could see like the corals, like little crabs and jellyfish that were just still stuck on the sand. And we walked pretty far. Like if the water was there, you'd be like, how'd you get that far? But with the water not being there, I don't know. It was just amazing. Like the craziest thing I ever saw. And then like within 2 hours, they're like, okay, let's go back. You see the water starting to come in slowly. They're like, if we don't get back in like 15 minutes, it'll be all the way up. And sure enough, it all came. So it was just like the most amazing experience of my life. And like, I grew up Christian. So it made me think of the Bible of like when God said Moses parted the Red Sea and it just like, they were able to walk and see all that. That's how I thought. I was like, wow, like, a miracle and like Mother Nature working together, like, and being able to witness something like that. It blew my mind. It blew my mind because nobody ever talks about that happening, but it was so normal to the people there. So yeah, it was amazing.
That is incredible. What? No, yeah. Like, you know, come on, man. I mean, Lagos, we have a number of beaches here, and I'm trying to look for a reference point in my mind to match up what you're saying. Like that whole, it's not a small river. It's not just an ordinary river. Like the
exactly.
ocean. Like the if I went to the beach, that whole big body of water will just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll come back in 2 hours. Like, how does that happen?
It only happens during certain seasons, not like year round there, but still, okay. Like, it's so normal to them. And yeah, one time we were like at one little island and we had to take a boat across to get to like the bigger one. But when that tide came and everything pulled back, you can literally walk from that small island to the big island. Like,
what?
It's just, yeah, at one time you can do that. And then it comes back in and then it's like so deep down. It's so crazy. Yeah, it's the craziest thing ever.
That is incredible.
Wow. So you were literally walking at the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm. I mean, in some sense, like how, what was it like? What was it the same sand as the beach, the shore?
Actually, no, it's more like a clay. It feels nice. Actually, it feels really nice, but it's like a clay, on the bottom. Yeah. Because I guess the moisture of the water,
wow,
it doesn't dry all out like sand, but yeah, it's like a clay filling. And then, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you have to be careful where you step and stuff still, because, you know, like little like crabs or like little stingrays that go in that water, I mean, under the sand, they're still there. So if you step on like their hole where their house is, they'll still bite you. Even the water doesn't take them away, like they stay there. So it's still amazing, though.
That is crazy. You know, like, mm-hmm. I am so scared about the bottom of the ocean. Like, I'm so scared. Did you see anything, like, scary or that looked really funny while you were walking in the middle of the ocean?
No, I think that was the scariest thing when he told me, like, oh, be careful, like, you can still hurt yourself. But otherwise, no, it was just fascinating. You still saw, like, coral reefs and, like, seaweed, like, just laying there. But otherwise, it's just like, wow, this is fascinating, more so.
Wow. Okay, well, let's go to South Africa before coming to West Africa. What was South Africa like? South Africa, especially the country, yeah. South Africa itself is much more Western, probably more Western than most parts of Africa. Did it feel more like home to you?
No, it didn't feel more at home. It reminded me of America. It didn't necessarily feel more at home.
What else was the highlight for you in South Africa?
Actually, in the country South Africa or like the southern countries?
I was
in
the southern Africa.
Okay. I really enjoyed Namibia. I think it's like an underrated southern country. Like, it gets outshined. South Africa takes up all the shine for all of like the southern part of Africa. But Namibia was actually a good time. The people are very nice. It's like smaller, but they're actually really good if you want to do a safari. Like, people don't know that.
Yeah,
they have like ocean, like oceanic, like kind of safaris as well as on the land.
Yeah. So Namibia is a very, very interesting place. I've not visited there before, but I have a couple of friends from there, and we always talk about Namibia a lot.
But no, it was a very nice treat. I think people should visit it more. They have a big history of like genocide too, where the Germans like try to wipe out one of the biggest tribes. But I don't know. It was refreshing. It was refreshing, definitely.
I can imagine. What else? What else would you deem like a big highlight for you in Southern Africa?
I would say it was a lot of people, like, especially when we were in Cape Town, in Cape Town, there were so many people that were not from South Africa, but that migrated there because supposedly they have a lot of job opportunities compared to a lot of other countries. So it took us a while before we actually met a true South African. Most of the people we met were from other countries. They're like, what? Like, why are you here? But supposedly.
Wow. Never heard that before. Because even me, I've only been to South Africa once. And, you know, I met South Africans like very easily. So I just.
Really?
Maybe it's. Yeah. Yeah. I met them very easily. Well, it might also be because of the kind of place I was. I was in Johannesburg. And yeah, there were just so many South.
Well, in Johannesburg, yeah, but no, in Cape Town, that's where.
Oh, you were in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, I didn't catch that part. Okay, yeah, that makes sense now. So yeah, but in Johannesburg, so many South Africans I met like fast, and then, you know. But then again, I didn't ask them where they're from, so they could as well be from other parts of Southern Africa, which could be Lesotho or Botswana.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they sound alike and they look alike, so there was no reason for me to assume that they weren't South Africans.
Mm.
Yeah, So you might be right also. You might be right in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, just off bat, you assume they are from there. But then when we ask, like, oh, like, what part of South Africa are you from? They were like, oh, we're actually not from South Africa. So that's how a lot of it came up.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's interesting. That's an interesting one. Okay, let's leave South Africa, come into West Africa. And this is a part I'm naturally biased about anyway, because, of course, I'm from Nigeria. I live here. I've been here most of my life. And so I just want to know what this place, you know, was like to you.
For Nigeria specifically?
No, not West Africa. Oh. You know, just like we went through the other parts.
Oh, okay, yeah. West Africa was beautiful. Like, I loved all the food. The clothing, the cloth, the fabric, the music. Ah, it was just like everybody has to visit West Africa. Even if you're from a different part of Africa, everybody needs to go to West Africa. The traffic was crazy. The roads were crazy. The bribes were crazy. But it was just all part of the adventure. It was still like amazing. As we discussed earlier, like West Africa, a lot of it's similar once you go from one to the other. They're pretty similar. Senegal, though, I will say was different than like Nigeria, Ghana, Ivory Coast. It had a different vibe to it. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And their food is very, very good. Like, very, very good. Nigeria, everybody warned us about going there. Like, Nigerians warned us about going there. Other Africans from different countries warned us about going there. They're like, why are you going there? Especially traveling by road and two women. And we had no problems at all. I feel like Nigeria gets a bad rep sometimes. Like, they take the hits for everything. And honestly, we had the best time ever. I mean, we went to Enugu and we stayed with a family friend, my friend's family, because they came back from the holidays and we actually stayed in the village. So that was nice. We got like a real like cultural experience. And then somebody I went to college with, she introduced me to her cousin. So when we got to Lagos, we met up with some people that were around our age and got to see the city, like, not only in the tourist aspect, but, you know, through, like, a local's eye. But, I mean, everybody was so nice. I didn't see anything crazy. It was just another big city, another country. I know there's bad parts everywhere, but we didn't experience that. And I just, like, I want people to stop telling people not to come to Nigeria or be scared about it. Because we had, honestly, a good time.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why they're telling you not to come. That's crazy.
Yeah. Nice. We got told that a lot. Like, really? You guys are going there? Why? Yeah.
Okay. So that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So the biggest highlight for you, I mean, if you compare West Africa with other parts, I know you already said the food probably has the best food in all of the continent. Am I correct to make that assumption?
Does West Africa have? Yeah, you know what? West Africa does. I had the most flavorful. Ethiopia, though, it falls very closely. They had, like, really amazing food, so.
Okay, that makes
sense. And, like, for people that don't eat meat or vegetarian and all that, Ethiopia has a lot more options than West Africa.
Ah. That's an interesting fact. Never ever thought about that.
Yeah, I eat meat, so I don't mind. But I just know people are becoming, well, especially in the U.S., becoming more like vegan, vegetarian. And that's harder to travel through West Africa compared to like East Africa or Northern Africa. Mm-hmm. They offer they're a little more friendly for people with those kind of dietary restrictions.
Can imagine. Oh, no wonder, because I'm gluten intolerant, and a friend of mine, you know, got back from Kenya a few months ago, and she was just telling me how she found a lot of food options for herself when she got to Kenya.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Kenya has a lot.
Yeah, but here it's really like there are almost no stores that are dedicated for, you know, foods that cater to my kind of deficiency. Or, you know, you can't just walk into a store and just see something that will randomly say gluten free or something like that. I mean, mm-hmm. it's really difficult to find food options here at the supermarket or anywhere. The, you know, the very, very, very few options. But she told me
Yeah.
it wasn't the same in Kenya.
No, not at all. They have a lot of those. For people that have dietary restrictions, they have a lot of options.
Yeah, in East Africa. That's a very interesting one. Maybe I should move to East Africa.
I think you would highly enjoy it because Kenya is very metropolitan too.
All right.
But yeah, I think you would actually enjoy it.
Never been there, but I hope to visit first half of 2020.
I like that.
Yeah, so I should probably do my East African tour by the first half of 2020.
Yeah, that would be nice. And you could do a Rwanda, Kenya, Ethiopia,
Yeah.
Uganda.
Okay, so I mean, your objective for this trip, do you did I mean, when you got back to the US after the trip, how long did it take you to do this?
We did it for 3.5 months.
3.5 months. Wow. That is a lot of time away from home.
Yeah, it went by fast though, because we didn't stay in one country. So I honestly, the time flew by.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, like my 44 days was like a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I spent 44 days traveling through 7 countries. And yeah, so and it felt like just 1 week. Although like when it became difficult at some point, it felt like 2 weeks within a day. But looking back at everything, it went by so fast.
Yeah. But yeah, in the moment, some things felt slow. But yeah, when you, in hindsight, and when you look back at everything, like, wow, that went by so fast.
Okay, so when you go back home, did you feel fulfilled? Particularly with your objective, for starting this in the first place.
Yeah, I was actually very fulfilled. I was actually sad to be back.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually very hard to adjust. What only one person told me it would be. Everybody else was just like, "Oh, aren't you happy to be home?" But it actually was very hard to adjust after doing something like that. And just getting back into the lifestyle here in the US. It took a while. It took a couple months, and then it was just like me reacclimating, like moving back into my apartment, finding a job, and just adjusting to time here and the way things, it's just a, you have to retrain your mind almost. So that took a moment. But while taking everything that I just did in, because the trip was now finished, and while I was enjoying each of it while it was happening, now I was sitting back and processing everything that I just really did and went through.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must have been like a very incredible experience when you got back. Were people always asking you so many questions when you got back?
Yeah. They're like, "I know people already asked you, but like, what's your favorite country? Are you happy to be back? What is one advice you'll give?" And it's just like constant. It's almost like you want to set up a TED talk and invite everybody. Like, just come here. I'll tell my story. But I didn't mind sharing, because if my story sparked anybody to want to visit, then I felt like that was great. So definitely didn't mind sharing my story at all. No matter how many times I got asked the same question, it's still very exciting for me to talk about. So honestly, I love it. People can keep asking.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, one question I forgot to ask in the beginning was like your family. When you told them you were going to do this, what was the reaction?
So when I told my family I wanted to do this, they already knew for a while that I wanted to go to Africa. Because before, like even before I turned 30, it was just like years before, I was like, "Oh, I'm going to live in Africa. I'm probably going to live there a year. Like, I don't know where I'm going to live, but I'm going to live there for a year." And then I was like, "Okay, maybe 6 months." And then finally, it just dwindled down. Like, I'm going to do this for my 30th for 3 months. And they were like fully supportive. Like,
Oh, that's
they
incredible.
were like 100% on board. Encouraged me to have the best time. If I needed anything, they would be there. But yeah, they were 100% like on board and supportive,
Oh,
which I know everybody doesn't get, but I am very grateful for that.
yeah, it's very incredible. A supportive family is everything you probably ever need. Yeah, once your family is like good with the plan, I mean, that is a very good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very incredible. Nice. Nice one there. Okay. I'll be rounding up with there's this last thought, which is like, are you planning, or if that's if you're not even doing yet, are you doing anything with this experience that you've had back home in the US?
So we've had some interviews and had some articles written. We also have done some talks about our experience, and now we're just trying to figure out the next step. A lot of people want us to help them plan trips so that they can visit the continent. So we're just trying to figure out, like, how can we influence people to go visit? And that's what we're, like, currently working on.
Oh, that's beautiful, because you unofficially just became cultural ambassadors to Africa.
Exactly. It's funny because I actually call myself a culture ambassador. So it's like, oh, it's just coming into fruition through this. Yeah. So it's quite amazing.
Yeah, very amazing, man. I can't imagine the entire range of feelings you must have gone through doing this trip. You know, I can take a glimpse from, or I can take a clue from my own trip. It's such an incredible feeling when you return back home. It comes with a lot of, maybe some confusion, at least on my own part, there was some confusion when I got back. You know, things just felt very different because I'd been away from what I was used to. And when I got back for like 2 weeks, I was just sleeping, you know, I just kept on sleeping. I'll wake up, eat, maybe walk around for a bit, and I would just come back and sleep because it felt like I wasn't just ready for life when I got back.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing I didn't mind talking about, I'm like, now how can I get paid to talk about this? That will take it to the next step, next level.
Yeah, it was a lot of conflicting feelings when I got back. So mm-hmm. I can imagine what you probably had gone through, because mine was just 44 days, yours was 3.5 months. That is a lot.
Yeah, so that's what, like 70 days? So, oh no, sorry, not 70. It's like 100 and, we'll say like 110 days, maybe, around.
Yeah, probably. Man, that's incredible. And was it the same amount of time you had planned, or initially did you think you were going to stay longer or shorter than that?
Oh, yeah, we stayed to schedule then. Yeah, from our initial plan, we stayed to schedule.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Wow. I mean, it's been incredible having this conversation with you.
Yes.
I'm sure that if we sat down for 3 days, there's a possibility that we'll never end. We'll keep unraveling new experiences and mm-hmm. any want of, you know, conversations to have about this trip. You know, but we have to cut the time short, you know, unfortunately. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your
You're welcome.
With me on this trip. I'm hoping that some people might just listen to this and it will spark a new set of conversations, you know, about maybe visiting Africa. In fact, it doesn't have to be Africa. It's like, you know, for someone to be this brave enough to say they want to, you know, embark on this adventure, I just hope that this is able to inspire someone else to, you know, take on whatever dream or projects they've always had and just go ahead to execute it.
Exactly. Like what the book The Alchemist says, like the quote, whatever you want, the universe will do everything in its power to make sure it happens. Mm-hmm. Something like that is not exactly words, but like, yeah, when you put it out there, life will work for you, not against you. You just have to believe in yourself.
I completely agree with that. I guess that's the punchline to end this podcast with.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Man, I most appreciate it because you are my maiden guest and you have shared with me an incredible experience. And I hope that everybody listening also, you know, enjoyed the time as much as I did.
Yes, I hope you guys all enjoy. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much. And I wish you good luck in all your endeavors.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, bye. If you have listened to this podcast till the end, you are truly a superhero and you deserve a Marvel franchise. Honestly, you do. You do. Thank you so much for listening. And please remember to subscribe and share this if you enjoyed it. Until next Sunday, my name is Shay Albert and I wish you a great week ahead. Bye.